gotta do my training.
Oh, biscuit, so do I. Boodle. Right?
Hours. Hours.
Hi, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Where we make today make sense. Kai with the big Thursday buzzkill just as we're starting.
Like nanoseconds before we start, I pointed out that I still have to do my cyber training and don't harass people at work training. And little did I know that Ms. Wood has not done it either. And so actually,
no,
I was in a pretty good mood coming into today. And now we both haven't done it. And we got to spend time like tonight because it's due tomorrow. Anyway, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. I'm being very careful with my syntax here because we have some, shall we say, very specific listeners. We're going to do the news, and by the end, as we usually are, I think, we'll be smiling, mm-hmm. I think, I hope. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We'll be smiling right until we have to start our stupid cyber training. Thanks a lot.
I know.
If I had just forgotten, then I could have forgotten, but now it's on the record.
There's somebody in IT at American Public Media who listens to this. There's somebody, and they will know.
Suck it up. I'm watching you.
Yes. So
anyway,
let's go. Should we go? Let's go.
Let's do the news.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Luckily, it's one of those days where we agree on the news, minus like one rando that I threw in here. But
yeah, I thought that was a total rando. I was like, all right, fine.
I'm obsessed with it. I totally want to do a show about it. You know how I get a little wild hair.
Really? Okay. Right.
Yeah,
that's fair.
One of them.
That's fair. The news we can't not do, actually. There are two huge news things that all y'all will see elsewhere. But since we've commented upon it previously, I felt some obligation to sort of close the loop. The first item is this afternoon, the Biden White House said, no, all y'all got to get vaccinated. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the announcements out of the White House today are going to cover something like 2/3 of the American workforce. I think the Biden administration and the president himself, actually, based on his language in this speech, they're just done messing around, right? And they're done with the criticism. Mm-hmm. They're done with the, Joe, when are you going to do something? And as Biden said today, we have lost patience with those of you who are holding out. And I just think that's a very newsworthy development.
It's huge. It is a freaking huge development. I mean, it's literally like all employers with 100 plus. I'm reading from Heidi Prisbella. Hold on. Prisbella. She has it. I was like, wait, she has it in her bio, which I really appreciate. Heidi Prisbella from NBC. Requiring all employers with 100 plus employees to ensure their workers are vaccinated or tested weekly. All federal workers, millions of contractors, all healthcare workers, Medicare and Medicaid participating hospitals. Large entertainment venues should require proof of vaccination or testing for entry. Requiring employers to provide paid time off to get vaccinated, and hopefully some sick days if they have, and on and on and on, right? DOD schools, Bureau of Indian Education operated schools. All states to adopt vaccine requirements for all school employees. Like, done messing around now that the vaccines have been approved by the FDA, which I think was a crucial step here. And frankly, I would hope that this will change the tenor of the conversation that's been sort of ignoring the fact that one whole political party is telling people not to wear masks or get vaccines.
Yeah.
Well, okay, one part, I'm sorry, the radical wing of the Republican Party that is telling people not to wear masks or get vaccines, which is tends to undermine the like gentle suggestions that the administration has done up until this point. And so now it's like, okay, never mind. Here are the rules.
Here I think is going to be the tell, right? The tell is going to be Fox News tonight, Tucker Carlson show and Laura Ingraham show. That's going to be the tell. You know, it just will. For the tone of the response to this.
I think we already know.
Yeah, I kind of think we know. I mean, it's not like they were going to come out with open arms and say, yes, this is a great idea. But how vocally they incite people to rise up and object will be the tell, you know?
We just literally, I mean, I guess, and this, I know I'm ranting about framing, but we cannot do more of these stories, media, like fellow media, where we're just like ignoring this universe in which literally millions of people are being told this. People and that the response to healthcare officials who have and elected officials who have been trying to put into place measures that this wing is arguing against have been threatened. Did you plot a death, like a kidnapping and a murder of a governor based on the types of things that the Biden administration is now coming in trying to get done, like there's the view from nowhere, and then there's the view from vacuum, and it is baffling. Does that mean the CDC has given us completely consistent guidance? No, it does not.
Oh, God. CDC,
can you kind of see why maybe not?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, this will be fascinating.
You know what I thought was interesting? There was one of the Washington Inside the Beltway newsletters that I read this morning, which the second item was, when you've lost NPR, .. And they pointed out that NPR, while not a bastion of criticism of President Biden, aired a piece today. It was by Rob Stein, their healthcare correspondent, in which he pointed out the horrible messaging that the CDC has put out and the decisions that have been made by some of the CDC and some of the Biden administration, which have made this worse, you know? And I just, it's, people are picking up on that. I hope to, you know, a good six-pack of beer that you're right, that the issue will somehow not continue to be an issue, because as I said, I think on Friday, I'm over the whole, you know, if you want to uphold the norms, you got to uphold the norms thing. And this is the key issue.
Well, it's funny because that's sort of the piece that I'm subtweeting at this exact moment. I would urge you to listen to. I was frankly quite astonished by the tenor, the vacuumness of that, and the idea that any messaging from the president on news outlets to which many people in this country refuse to listen was somehow going to turn the tide.
Yep, that's fair.
It's an interesting story that you should hear. However, yes, lots of things are happening all at the same time, and that is one of them. The other thing that's happening is that the abortion ban in Texas that we have been talking about so much, the federal government has indeed intervened. The Department of Justice has sued the state of Texas over that law, saying that it was enacted in, quote, open defiance of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Seeking a permanent injunction against the law.
Now, I will tell you that when this, right after Merrick Garland gave his press conference today, I had CNN on in the office over my shoulder, and Jeffrey Toobin came on to provide some analysis. And number one, how does he still have a job? But number two, and if you don't know what that's about, Google it. Number two, he pointed out, because look, he is a trained attorney, that he's not sure how this sticks because the federal government doesn't necessarily have standing in this case, that legal doctrine that says you have to have been harmed in fact by an action to be able to seek legal redress. And he's kind of right. I mean, I suppose it all depends on what judge this winds up in front of in the United States District Court for the Western District of Texas, Austin Division. I'm reading from the complaint here. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know.
I mean, that's exactly why. Right?
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly why this law is so sort of devilishly crafted is that it's crafted specifically so that like no one can exactly sue.
Right.
So, I mean, this will be an interesting path forward. There was, you know, Lawrence Tribe, the Harvard professor emeritus. He was on MSNBC the other night talking about a case that he argued in which a liquor store prevailed based on the idea that the state cannot abdicate the responsibility of jurisprudence, basically, of prosecuting people or turning, you know, arresting them to citizens. Like, you have to take responsibility for it. And has apparently been out here arguing in op-eds like, hey, everyone, this is the way forward. Still, it is a huge deal that the Justice Department has sued Texas over this. And it just signals that this is like in no way going away. It's not going away.
Yep. Yep. Totally. Can I just throw one more thing in here? Mm-hmm. I kind of have been wondering where things stand because the Supreme Court came out. Decided not to decide. Actually, they did decide. A non-decision is a decision. Yep. They let the law remain in force. And now what's been going on? Has anything been happening? I actually don't know. You know?
Yeah, in Texas, you mean? Like with clinics and things?
Yeah, has anybody tested it? Has anybody done anything? You know, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't really know either.
So, yeah. All right, anyway.
We'll try to find out.
Fair enough. Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to raise this as my weird little obsession. I'm weirdly obsessed with the dystopian strangeness that is this like huge rise in, I think it's even, there's even a company called Afterpay. It sounds so 1984. Afterpay. But this like buy now, pay later boom. Boom. Where it's just like, whoever you are, go ahead and buy stuff that you can't afford and no interest for, you know, 72 months or whatever. It's been very strange. And now, according to Credit Karma, the personal finance company, let's see, fully 1/3 of U.S. customers who used buy now, pay later services have fallen behind on one or more payments. And then 72% of them said that their credit scores declined as a result. The latest survey found younger consumers who are being enticed to buy things that they cannot afford by this weird dystopian afterpay boom. It's a huge business right now.
It's a huge business.
Huge. And more than half of Gen Z or millennial respondents said they had missed at least one payment. Like, there's no universe in which this wasn't going to happen.
No, it was always going to happen. And I'm looking for yesterday's Marketplace show script, which I can't find because my email and my Slack is a mess. But there was, so Square bought a buy now, pay later company about a week or two ago. And then somebody bought one yesterday. I mean, there are M&As happening in this space because it is such a lucrative business. You know?
Yeah. Apparently all of this growth has, I am delighted to see, led to more scrutiny from regulators who aim to ensure consumers do not take on more debt than they can handle. The fact that these are zero or low interest is the only thing that differentiates them from a little bit of a payday loan. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. All right, hang on. Hold on. Just because I brought it up. So Square bought the Australian fintech company Afterpay, right? And PayPal bought
That's
a Japanese company called Payd. Yes, PayPal bought Payd in a $2.7 billion deal. So PayPal's going to have a footprint in Asia doing this. Buy now, pay later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we are already paying less for goods than what they cost to make. And now we just are going to get all our goods, but not have to actually pay for them. What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? That's right.
We're having kind of a radical show. This is kind of a radical show. Maybe we should turn to make me smile. Let's do it.
A little bit. Whew. All right, you go.
But I'm so fascinated by your links.
Oh, no. I'll hold on.
Okay, well, first of all, soon our issues of overconsumption will undoubtedly be solved again by a huge ship caught in the Suez Canal, because evidently somebody just tweeted me it happened again today, which I shouldn't even laugh about because it's like such a disaster. And yet boats were once again briefly blocked from entering part of the Suez Canal after yet another one of these freaking mega ships got stuck, ran aground, and was quickly refloated. So at least it was refloated and Christmas is saved so far. But then, get your tissues. Hat tip to Carrie Barber, who was the first person to send this to me. It was a total, it was everywhere yesterday. It was a complete meme because Steve came back. Steve from Blue's Clues.
Steve, who?
Came back on what is apparently the 25th anniversary of Blue's Clues, which is bananas because we're old. And he just came back to basically tell us how awesome everyone is. And it's so sweet, and we got some tape. We got some tape of the part that's gonna make you bawl.
Okay, all right.
And then look at you, and look at all you have done, and all you have accomplished in all that time. And it just—it's just so amazing, right?
I mean, Steve came back to tell us how much he is grateful for us, and how he's done like a lot of great things in life thanks to his success on Blue's Clues, and also we are awesome. And it was like the best thing that happened on the internet in as long as I can remember. Was so nice.
Good. I was never a Blue's Clues guy, so I'm less emotional.
We just got a letter.
Any excuse at all to sing. She will take any excuse at all.
I wonder who it's from.
Okay, we're going to move on. Mine make me smile in an ew kind of way. Thank you, Bridget Bonner, for pointing out the grossness of this. In Gothamist today, the headline says, beached rat carcasses indicate mass rodent death during Ida, experts say. They were talking about the number of rat carcasses that have been found along the beaches of New York City since that storm came through. And here's what Bobby Corrigan, a longtime pest control expert and former rodentologist for the New York City Department of Health, said. With this particular storm, any rats that were in the sewers were either crushed by the current or were swept out into the rivers. Now, rat populations in New York City number typically in the millions, right? So I tweeted out this story today, and then I got a bunch of responses along these lines, which is a piece from the CDC from a number of years ago that says, rats can swim or wade in the water for up to 3 days without drowning. They like to swim and are very good at it. A rat can survive being flushed down the toilet and might even get back into the same building by swimming back the same way. So, yay, dead rats.
What is wrong with you?
What do you mean? Why is this bad? Well, maybe I'm traumatized because I live in a 115-year-old house and we have a lot of rats nearby. But other than that, you know, or is that TMI? Okay. Are we done now?
I guess smiles with a side of barf, says Bridget.
Okay. Well, a little bit.
I mean, okay. I like that it goes harkens back to that cute video of the rat like being all happy and smiling. It's when you think about them swimming for 3 days and then having to give up and die after like lots of torture. You, sir.
Oh, man.
Have some deep, dark layers.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good.
I like the fun facts. Right,
you have to do the next part of this, and I'll chime in, because I'm just going to stop talking.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, everyone. So. We don't deserve you. We do not deserve you. And yet, we are so thrilled that a whole bunch of you have already answered the call of the Make Me Smart Fall Fundraising Drive. Yesterday, we told you about the banana pants. That's right. They're real. You can get them for, what is it, $10 a month donation.
They are so yellow. So yellow. They're so yellow.
Kai already got his.
Scarily yellow. I got my pick.
We've also made another listener dream into a reality. Ringtones. Boom. The opening music and the half full, half empty sting are now ringtones, and you will get them as a bonus gift when you donate any amount. Love it.
Bunches and bunches of y'all have stepped up already. Almost 200 of you just since yesterday. $23,000 in the bank. We do appreciate that because that pays our salaries and the salaries of everybody whose name you hear us read. 128 of you, you brave souls, chose the banana pants as the thank you gift. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to need a flashlight if you wear them when you go out to walk the dogs at night. That's all I'm saying.
You're so great. We're doing an unusual thing, too. Shout-outs, Camber from Arroyo Grande, Aaron from Steamboat Springs, Rolf from Kaltbrunn, Switzerland. That is awesome. Marcus in Odenton, Maryland, Kim in Dundon, Florida, Peter and Logan in Huntsville, Alabama, who I hope that Logan is it's a father and his 13-year-old son. I hope somebody's in the space industry.
Oh, gotta be, right?
Anyway,
gotta be.
Plenty of you have stepped up. We super, super, super appreciate it. Hopefully you will start flooding us soon with pictures of you in your banana pants. And that is it. Hopefully one or two of us will be in our banana pants tomorrow for Economics on Tap in the YouTube live stream.
Well, tomorrow we'll tell you what happened if we're not in our banana pants. But you can donate at Make Me Smart. You can donate at Marketplace, marketplace.org/givesmart, and you'd hook us up, and we do appreciate it. We do appreciate it.
Yes. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. See you then.
Boom. There you go. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Mark A. Green is shadowing her, learning the ropes around here so that he can be in charge. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Tony Wagner, he's writing our newsletters now.
I think Mark A. has already decided he does not want to be in charge if he's Weiss. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer. She's going to talk him into it anyway. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves, who will make it all better. Marketplace.org/givesmart.
Give Smart. Hook us up.
I want the ringtones. I'm going to donate.
Want the ringtones? Hearing this stuff 5 days a week isn't enough for you? Just say.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.